días de poder.
Clive asked if I would give a short update of what we did in Zambia. You know, we go every year for a few months to Zambia, and we went this year, as usual, and to Zambia, right on the borders of Congo and Angola. And when we got there, I got a letter, a mobile text. Amazing new things in Zambia. And would I go to speak at a conference? A place 100 miles way out in the bush, the middle of nowhere. And I feel I'm getting too old to go out and rough it in the bush, but now I agreed to go. And I said, shall I bring my tent? They said, no, don't bring your tent, we'll give you one of our houses. Well, I've slept in those local houses before. I remember once sleeping in one. And I woke up at the night with something running over me, and I flashed my torch, and the whole room was totally and absolutely full of rats, everywhere, and up there as well. And so we got rats, you got bats, you got bed bugs, and everything else. So I wasn't too keen on going, but I really felt the Lord said, "I want you down there," because it's a group of young people who are so keen. But it's 100 miles over a terrible road, right out in the middle of the bush. And I got three other African friends, and we went together. And as we drove down, the road had been washed out in several places, and the washout was so deep that if the car had gone in there, you wouldn't have been able to see it. It would never have come out again. And these washouts came so near. In one part, it was just about that much, you know, it was the width of the. And I thought, if it breaks off, I'm gone. But we prayed and we managed to get there. And it was so bad, I thought we broke something on the car. I don't know what it was. And I thought, how are we ever going to get back home again? But the Lord was very good. And he managed, driving very slowly, we got home. But when I got there, they'd already gathered nearly 600 people. And we gathered under the trees. And I was thrilled when I looked at them very carefully, because over 60% were under the age of 20. Zambia is a young country. The majority of people are under 20. But here are these young people so keen. And I'd agreed to speak twice a day. And I prepared all my subject. But when they said, no, we don't want that subject, please. They want me to speak on the second coming of Christ. And four times a day. And it was almost 20 sessions. Was it that? I can't remember exactly. But that was hard work, because they don't like short meetings, you know. They like good, solid teaching. But it was wonderful to teach all these young people for all that period. And several came to know the Lord, several came back to the Lord, several were inspired to give themselves to the work of the Lord. So it was a tremendous time down there. That was just one of the things that we did. When I got back, I thought, oh, it was good. And when I got there, the man who prepared the whole thing, his house, and he'd painted the walls, he'd put a double bed right in the middle of the floor. I got new blankets on there. They brought all the water, all the food. I was fed like a chief. No rats, no bats, no bed bugs. It was a wonderful time. So I was really glad that the Lord... We had conferences, we had Bible schools and all sorts of different things. But thank you for praying for us. We really do feel and appreciate your prayers when we go off. Now, it's a very brief... I haven't got the time to tell you more than that. Now, I just want one verse. I'm going to speak about one verse and four things about this verse. Just verse 16 at the top, not the rest of this thing. I could read the whole chapter, but for the sake of time, just one verse. Anybody not know this verse? It's quite well known, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world, he gave. What did he give? His one and only Son. Didn't have any others. His one and only Son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. beautiful verse, beautiful in the Lunda language. And the four things I want to say about this verse. Before I tell you those four things, I'm going to a lot of funerals these days. The older that you get, the more funerals you go to. And I've been to all kinds of funerals, humanist funerals, atheistic funerals, different faith funerals. And all these funerals, they have songs. People are, you know, they've got recorded music now. One of the favourites is Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. And well, I thought to myself, what would I like at my funeral? I'll have a few hymns, of course. But if I have a song, what would I like to sing at my funeral? And I've told Rachel to write this down. And this is my song that I would like to sing at my funeral. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colours of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The first point I have thinking about that, it's a wonderful world. We have a world, and it's a wonderful world. When you observe the world, if you do, doesn't it make you feel good? When I look at the world we live in, it makes me feel good. Especially this year, we've had so much sunshine, haven't we? And the trees are so beautiful. It's a wonderful world. During the war, my father was away in France fighting the war. And my mother and I, we used to go up to my grandmother's house. She lived a couple of miles away. So we spent a lot of time up there. And we went up one day. My grandmother had 15 children, so I used to like going up to the family up there. And one evening we came out and we were walking home, and it was during the blackout. You remember the blackout? Not a scrap of light. Even the car headlights had to be hooded, and a torch. You couldn't just hold a torch on. It was really black when it was black. And we were walking down home, this 2 miles, and suddenly I stopped. And my mother said, what is it? What's wrong? And I said, look. And we looked up there and I said, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it beautiful? I saw the stars in the blackout. And they were totally and absolutely wonderful. One thing we used to do with our boys in Africa, we used to go out for a holiday to the Zambezi River, you know, the great Zambezi. And there's an area there, I don't know whether it's volcanic or what, but there's a rock. And it's about 3 or 4 kilometres, the diameter of this rock. That's a big rock, right at the side of the river. So we go at night, lie on this rock, and it's gathered all the heat from the day, so it's nice and warm, and we watch the stars, name all the stars. And as you look at the stars in Africa, there's a meteor shower. Last night there was a meteor shower. I looked out to see it, and I couldn't see any stars at all. But that's not like Zambia. Zambia, 6 months, not a cloud in the sky. And the stars are absolutely beautiful. What a wonderful world. He made it. When you look at the atom, the basic building block of life, it's so simple, you know, an atom. An atom is simple. It's got a nucleus. And it's got a charge of electricity going round it. Simple, isn't it? Everything's built out of this simple thing. But but it's beautiful. And the wonderful thing about the atom is that this negative charge of electricity exactly equals the positive charge of the nucleus. Exactly. They're totally balanced out. Is that an accident? Or is it a plan? And so if there are two electrons, there's another bit more in the nucleus to balance it out. The whole thing is balanced. You've heard of the quantum leap. And when one of these electrons leaps up to another level, it emits a photon. And we get light from that. A simple thing. But it's beautiful, you see. It's a beautiful thing. And I was amazed to find that there are more atoms in my body than there are stars in the sky. Well, that's difficult to believe, isn't it? Rachel said, would you like a picture? I said, yes, can I have a picture? I wanted a picture at the side of my wall. So she said, what would you like? And I said, the periodic table. So it's there at the side of my bed. And when I wake up in the morning, that's what I see when I waken up. Oh, I'm on my right side. And there is this wonderful, beautiful picture of the periodic table. Have you ever looked at the periodic table since you left school? Mine's in colour. A coloured one.
Christmas jumper this year.
Oh, is it? Can you remember them all? Well, I thought I'd try and remember it, but I haven't got very far. But when I look at the periodic table, you know, it's so simple, but it's in perfect balance. You look at the atom, perfect balance. You look at the periodic table, perfect balance. It's a beautiful world in which we live. The human body, did you know that we have 100 trillion cells? Not atoms, I'm talking about cells. There are billions of atoms in the cell. But the cell itself, we have 100 trillion cells in our body. Well, some do. I mean, I'm not as big as some of you, so you may have a few more and I may have a few less. But 100 trillion, how many zeros is that? A million is 6, a billion is 9, so a trillion is 12, isn't it? 12 zeros. 100 trillion cells. But each of those cells, tiny, is a wonderful complex world of activity. There are all sorts of things going on. In fact, there's 100,000 complex actions take place in the cell every moment. 100,000 actions in each of those 100 trillion cells. But what is more amazing, that each one of these cells is in communication with every other cell. 100 trillion cells doing 100,000 things in communication with every one of those cells, and they agree together what they're doing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a beautiful world. Mathematics. I was absolutely hopeless at mathematics. I found a thing on the computer called Khan Academy. Don't know if you've heard of it, but I've been going through algebra. But algebra is beautiful. I didn't realise how beautiful algebra is. And mathematics is really beautiful. And the mathematics say, we did a wonderful thing when we invented mathematics. They didn't invent mathematics. You know, the philosophers believe, some do anyhow, that mathematics is older than the creation itself. In fact, mathematics is a part of God. When we look at mathematics, we've just seen the way that God does things. I've got two sons who are scientists. And they're very glad for mathematics because it follows a definite pattern. It doesn't change. It's balanced. It's perfect. Beautiful mathematics. My son, when he'd finished a degree, we were in Africa and he wrote to me. He said, Mum and Dad, he said, I've found that the creation is not only beautiful, but the way the creation works is beautiful. Rachel was reading a newspaper in bed. She said, listen to this. She was reading about Delia Smith. Have you heard of Delia Smith? I don't think I knew Delia Smith, but Rachel told me who she was. Delia Smith. She does cooking, doesn't she? And writes cookery books. But Delia Smith wrote this in the newspaper. A hen's egg. A hen's egg is quite simply a work of art. A masterpiece of design. And of construction. And what's more, it comes in a brilliant package. Isn't that beautiful? So when I look at all these things very briefly, what do I see? It's a wonderful world. It's a wonderful world, isn't it? Don't you agree? We live in a wonderful world. But then secondly, it's an ugly world. Unfortunately, we've made it ugly. It's a wonderful world, but it's an ugly world. You know, I hardly dare look at the television these days. One thing you're shielded from in Africa, we don't have television where we live. We don't have newspapers. We don't have libraries. We don't have books. We don't have radio. Totally isolated. And you forget, you can forget what's going on in the world. But when you come back to live in England, you can't be insulated from it, can you? And I turn on the TV and what do I see? Aleppo. I've always wanted to go to Aleppo. I've heard it's very, very beautiful. But unfortunately, I'll never see that beauty. It's gone. Destroyed. It's now a mound of rubbish. But what I hate about it is the millions of people who have been killed and maimed and displaced. And when I look on the children, the poor children, wandering round dazed, covered in white dust or blood streaming from them. When I think of this world, how we spawned this thing called ISIS and their cohorts of thugs, the Boko Haram and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, who enjoy butchering. They enjoy it, butchering people, and especially Christians. And there's others today who are just seeking to rebuild the glory of their empires that have been passed. I think of air pollution. I heard recently on the radio that 5.5 million people die every year who don't need to, simply from air pollution. My son is an oceanographer and he showed me a picture of the Pacific Ocean, a place near Hawaii. And even from a satellite you can look down and you can see this great whirlpool in the Pacific. It goes round, it's a slow moving thing, but this great big circle of water going round, and as you zoom in, it's plastic. Plastic bottles, plastic bags. Water pollution. We've destroyed, polluted the atmosphere, the water is polluted. And the trouble is that the fish come and eat that plastic. And the plastic goes into the flesh of the fish, and then we get the fish and we eat the fish. And that plastic goes into us, and we have children who are born with defects because of the pollution. War. Cyber attacks. Do you know, I was actually shocked. When I came this morning, I switched off the printer of my computer, put it offline. I'm shocked to find now that somebody in Germany or America or Russia or China can control the printer in my house or the toaster in the kitchen. How is it possible? Or that thing that looks at the children in their cots. War, cyber attacks, disaster, starvation, pollution. It's an ugly world. What's the future of our planet? In my lifetime, I've seen so many wars, so many hundreds of millions of people killed. And when I look at modern art and listen to music, look at the architecture and design and clothes today, there's a certain ugliness that we didn't used to see. I don't know if you'd agree, or whether that's just a personal thing to myself, but it's a wonderful world, but also it's an ugly world. But God, what did he do? God so loved the world. It's a loved world. Wonderful, ugly, but it's loved. For God so loved the world. If you look at that word world there, it doesn't tell you in Greek, but the word in Greek is cosmos. We know the word cosmopolitan. We heard the word cosmos. What is the word cosmos? What did it mean in Greek, the word cosmos? It means everything. The whole that includes everything. And we ask ourselves, God so loved the world. What did God love? Does he love the trees? For God so loved the world. Is it talking about the trees, the rivers, the lakes, the mountains? Is it talking about the skies, the heavens, and everything in it?
But is it talking about the people of the earth? Red and yellow, black and white. When it says cosmos, it means everything. God loves the trees, he loves the rivers, he loves the mountains, he loves the stars, he loves the earth, he loves this world. But he loves the people. When Jesus died, he didn't only die for people. This may amaze you, but Romans 8 told me this. He died for the stars, he died for the trees, he died for the earth. He died for this world, but specifically, he died for me. He died for you. Jesus died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Jesus died for me. God so loved the world. Everything in it, every person in it. There are four words for love in classical Greek. Three of them appear in Greek and one in a negative form in Greek. We've got eros, which talks about physical love. Romantic love, physical attraction, eros. We've got storge. That's the one that comes in the negative. That's what seems to be lacking in the world today. And storge is natural love that a parent feels for the child. That's a normal kind. It's natural for a mother to love her child, isn't it? Natural for a father to love his children. But there's a strange lack of it, or it's getting a lack of it in the world today. But then we've got filio. That's friendship, brotherly love. We love those who are attracted to us. We love those who are like us. We love those who are likeable. We love those who are lovable. It's natural. But then there's another word, agapao. And this is a different kind of love. This is love for the unlovely. Love for those who are not beautiful. Love for those who are not like us. This is God's own love. When God loved the world, he didn't just love nice people like me. He loves Isis. He loves Boko Haram. He loves the unlovely people in the world. For God so loved the world. And the true love always. Agapao is a working love. It does things. God loved, but it wasn't just words. What did God's love make him do? God so loved the world that gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son. When we translated the Lunda Bible, the Bible into Lunda, we spent 11 years translating the Bible into Lunda. The verse that gave us the most trouble was this verse. We spent weeks and weeks. In fact, we spent 10 years trying to translate John chapter 3, verse 16. It seems simple in English, but it's not simple in Lunda. We have a different concept. There are different concepts there. One of the things that we found difficult is that word gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. What does that word gave mean? Now in Lunda, to use the word give, you've got to have an object. You can't give without an object. It doesn't grammatically make sense if you don't have an object to it. So, when God gave, to whom did he give? God gave his Son, but to whom did he give his Son? Did God give his Son to Satan? Did God give his Son to us? Did God give his Son to the world? And we couldn't agree among ourselves how to translate it. The Zambians wanted to say, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. But it doesn't actually say that, does it? So what do you feel in your heart? To whom did God give his Son? Well, I personally felt that God gave his Son to the cross to be a sacrifice. God gave his Son to be that sacrifice. He gave his Son to the cross to die for you and for me. He gave his Son to die. Jesus was born to die. And it was the most awful death on the cross. Jesus died. But I want to tell you good news today. He's not dead. We don't come here on a Sunday, I don't know about you, do you have a break in the break of time? We have it every Sunday. But we don't gather. It's not a funeral service. Jesus died, but he rose again. Jesus lives. A living hope. We have a living hope in a living Saviour. Jesus died and he lives. And he's coming back again one day. He's the Saviour. And he can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. So it's a wonderful world. It's an ugly world. It's a loved world. But finally, it's my world. It tells me right throughout. It tells me in Revelation. It tells me in Romans. In Ephesians. God so loved the world that he gave. God has saved the world. But he's given it into our hands. We're God's representatives on the earth. Adam lost it when he handed his authority over to Satan. In Christ we receive eternal life and the world. You know that word there, eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have... Now the old version said everlasting life, but they've changed it to eternal life. Why do you think they've done that? Anybody any ideas? Well, I'll tell you. There are two words in Greek for it that could be translated there. One is eidos, and eidos, the idea is length of time. So has God given us something that's never going to end? There's another word which Ionios. Ionios incorporates this idea of length, but also the idea of quality. So it's not only length, it's a different kind of life. It's a quality of life. So eternally, it tells you that it's going to go on forever and ever, but also they want us to get the idea that it's a different kind of life. It's a wonderful kind of life. It's a life that's abundant and overflowing. Jesus came and he said, I came that they might have life. And that they might have this overflowing, abundant, wonderful kind of life. He gave that to me. But he gave that to me in order that it might filter out. That I might be a river of life to the rest of this world. It's my world. I am saved. I have everlasting life. I have eternal life. But I have a responsibility for the world in which I live. Not just to sit in our little halls, worship among ourselves. We need to get out there into the world. The world is lost. It's on the road to hell. And I have a responsibility to bring Christ and his blessings to the world. We have 72 tribes in Zambia, and it was the policy of the government to mix all these tribes up. So where we lived in Winnilunga, we had a secondary school, and I was a teacher in the secondary school at one period, for a very short period. But we had different tribes in there, and our tribe is the Lunda tribe, and there's another tribe called the Bemba tribe. They live in another part of Zambia, and the Bemba are a very dominant people, and they're not liked. And especially in our area, the Lunda people do not like the Bemba people. But this boy had come to secondary school in our area, and he came from a very poor family. And I was shocked because his shorts, you know, you saw those knees out. Well, his shorts were like that. But that the embarrassment to show this part of your anatomy in Africa, that is really, really, really terrible. And this boy was poor. He was really, really poor. In our group there, we had a group of Christians who met together, a sort of a Christian union in the school. And most of them were Lunda. The Lunda tribe is very well represented by Christians. And they gathered together. And as they were gathering together, somebody said, have you seen that boy who's come amongst us? And he's so poor. So they had a collection amongst them. They're very poor, but they had a collection, these Christians. and they got some money together and they bought him a blanket and some sheets and a pair of shorts. Now, to me, that was an absolute miracle. For Lunda people to collect their money to give to a stranger, a Bemba boy, to buy him a blanket, and it had never been heard of in that secondary school. Is it any wonder that that Bemba boy became a Christian? To me, it's not. It's a wonderful thing. We have a wonderful Saviour. For God, Son of the world, that he gave his one and only Son, he gave him to the cross to die for you and for me, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have abundant, overflowing life. But let's go out and share that with our families and with the world. A wonderful world, an ugly world, but it's a loved world, and it's my world. Shall we pray together? Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've been able to spend together. Thank you for this wonderful verse. Thank you, Lord God, for sending your Son to die for us. We thank you he died, but he's not dead, he's alive. And he's with us this morning. Help us, Lord, to share our faith with other people. We ask it in his name. Amen.